The word for the day, and I want to carry over from this morning, is responsibility. So I want us to think a little bit more about that word. Because many times it is easier to define a word if you can see it. So I'd like for us to look at someone's life tonight in order to see responsibility. First of all, I'll share with you this quote, something I read recently that caught my attention. One of the greatest problems facing our children, youth, and adults is not that they are apathetic. The problem is that they have not found something that makes life worth living. They're looking for something to which they can give their lives. And I believe that statement is true across the world, that everyone is looking for something to live for, something to make their lives meaningful. And in the world, there is a thought among many that nothing, when it boils down to it, it really matters. And with that kind of mindset, you see, that works against what the Scriptures actually teach, that life does matter and responsibility is a must if you would have a life worth living. Responsibility, let's look at a definition. Being accountable in word and deed, having a sense of duty to fulfill tasks with reliability, dependability, and commitment. And some of those words we looked at this morning, being involved in what it means to have responsibility. We do want lives. All people want to live lives that really matter. A responsible commitment to a goal or ideal that matters provides that significance. The person whose life I'd like for us to take a look at tonight is the Apostle Paul. If we want to understand responsibility, I believe he is one among many in the Scriptures that we can take a closer look at to see what it means to live responsibly before God. I want to read with you four passages, the fourth of which we'll spend some more time on. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to these passages and look at responsibility in the life and teachings of the Apostle Paul. The first one is Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And I'll begin reading with verse 14. His defense before King Agrippa. And he's recalling and retelling about his when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, and he was blinded on this occasion. You remember Jesus asked him on that road to Damascus, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." That's verse 14. Verse 15, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said," and notice Jesus' answer, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That's what Jesus really commissioned Paul to do. But look at verse 19. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I did what Jesus instructed me to do." Verse 20. "Declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me." Look at Paul. Understand responsibility. Heading to Damascus initially to persecute Christians, thinking that was the will of Christ for him, the will of God for him. But then in being confronted by Jesus and recognizing Jesus for who he was and becoming obedient to Jesus' mission for him. And we see in that about face in Saul or Paul, the about face of what it means to be responsible, of doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Also, look with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, Paul writing, reflecting on his life. But look at where his responsibility in fulfilling the Lord's will for him, where it took him and what he had to endure because of it. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning of verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, that is, my deep concern for all the churches. You see, when Paul gave his life to Christ and gave his life in committing his obedience to the mission that Jesus gave him, he had to suffer tremendously for that. Most of these things listed here were consequences of his choosing to follow Jesus. So look at responsibility. Look at the Apostle Paul, beaten, receiving those lashes against his back, hungry, thirsty, in danger of his life many times. Look with me now a couple of books over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7 and following. Philippians 3 verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. All those things, and Saul had excelled in the Jewish religion, was looked in favor upon by his fellow Jews. All these things, he says, I've counted for loss. I've counted it for loss that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You see responsibility. You see it in the life of Paul. Now let's flash forward to the fourth text, the one I want to spend a little time on. 2 Timothy was probably the last book that the Apostle Paul wrote to a preacher by the name of the book, Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. At this time, he is an old man, scarred by stonings, beatings, shipwrecks, disappointments. Yet, he writes as one who is triumphant. How is that? Because he has been responsible. He has been obedient to the call of Christ, what Christ would have him do. And so as we read his words here, we see a life full of responsibility before God. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing. I want to propose to you tonight, those words are filled with what it means to live responsibly as a Christian. But as we look at this text a little more closely, notice number one, responsibility is worth your life. It is worth your life. Responsibility in living for Christ is worth giving your life for and to. Paul says his life now, as he's growing old and facing possible execution, but his life is being offered in sacrifice to God in one last act. The background of his words here are under the old law, in the instructions in Numbers 15 about the offering of sacrifices. And one of the final acts of some of these offerings was a drink offering, whether it be oil or wine. And he seems to be drawing upon that and is referencing to his own life as that final act in this offering to God. He's giving his life completely as sacrifice to God. How fitting for him to speak of his life in that fashion. Because we can look at his life through the book of Acts and in his writings and put together a lot of things about the Apostle Paul. And truly, he gave his life as a sacrifice to God. You remember it was the Apostle Paul that the Holy Spirit moved him to write, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And so at the end of his life, near the end, he's looking back and he's saying, I've given my life to Christ, and now in this one final act, even if it means my death, is still going to be a sacrifice to God. But there's no twinge of regret. He realizes it's been worth every struggle to give his life as a sacrifice before God. Notice also in his words in verse 6 that he felt that fulfilling his responsibilities to God and to Christ freed him from mundane things. And that's found in the terms that he uses. The time of my departure is at hand. We know that he's referencing to his death. I'm about to die, he's saying. Perhaps even by execution. But depart, the word that he uses there, let's delve into that a little bit more. The word depart in the Greek language was used to paint a picture of a ship hoisting its anchor, loosening the mooring ropes and departing from one country to another. The time of my departure has come. It's time for me to set sail from this world to the next, to be with God. He had been anchored, so to speak, and tied to this world as he was ministering in the name of Christ. But now as the end of his life approaches, it's not the end of his existence, but that he's looking forward to departing to that new country to be with God, setting sail for the heavenly kingdom of God. To depart, also in the Greek language, was used to describe the breaking camp on a hiking trip. And so he's ready to fold his tent, as it were, depart for the last time. But his departure, and you think about the many travels of Paul, and how it was important to him to travel to a place where the name of Christ had not been preached. Traveled miles and miles and without modern modes of transportation that we have today. Remember, he suffered shipwrecks on occasion. But all that traveling he knew was about to end. His final departure, he would arrive at his final destination, a permanent residence with Jesus himself. You see this focus in realizing that the things of this world he was leaving behind. With this focus throughout his life, it allowed him to not be distracted by the things of this world, the temporary things, but he kept him focused on those things that are eternal. He always was looking forward to this final departure, if you will. It was worth every sacrifice that he was making. It was the focus of his life. Philippians 1:21, he would write, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To be responsible in living for Christ is worth your life. Secondly, it gives meaning to our lives. And look at the statements in verse 7. Statements filled with meaning of life, of Paul's life, but include that responsibility. Again, fulfilling responsibilities lets you focus your life on things that count. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. Hold your place there. Look back with me a couple of chapters to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice some instruction that Paul had just given to Timothy in verses 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He's telling Timothy, you be a good soldier. And a good soldier doesn't get distracted, doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, but his sole purpose is to please his commanding officer. And that instruction that he was giving to Timothy was the same principles by which Paul lived his life. I have fought the good fight. I have sought to please my commanding officer in the way that I live. And that allowed him to focus his life on truly the things that did count. Notice he also says, I have finished the race. I have finished the race. Fulfilling responsibilities, we learn from this statement, brought discipline into his life. He's using again an analogy from Olympic games or Olympic type games and the runner racing in an event. I have finished the race. Just as those contestants would seek to finish the race and finish well, Paul says, I have endured. Realizing that the Christian race is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. It lasts our entire life. And you see Paul and you think about his life and you see it certainly has been an endurance run for him. But he said, I have finished the race. And we know that in using that imagery of running a race, that Paul, just like the athletes, they had to exercise self-discipline. And we see that discipline in the life of Paul. And he even wrote about it. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And notice, but I run thus not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul didn't want to be disqualified by breaking the rules. He disciplined himself in order to run the race the way it was intended to be run, faithfully, in obedience with God's will. He focused the course of his life in how he ran it. And he was able to say, I have finished the race. And then, I have kept the faith. And in those words, we see what matters most to Paul. He has kept the faith. The faith being that doctrine to which the Lord had imparted or entrusted to him. That's the way he viewed this, the Word of God, as something that had been entrusted to him by God to be shared faithfully with those who did not know Christ. And he's saying, I have kept the faith. I've been faithful in my preaching of the Word of God. And you think about the many times and the many heartaches and the trials that he faced because he was carrying that message with him and sharing that message. And how many times would it have been an easy thing for him to do, to think to himself, you know, it's just not worth it. Life would be so much easier for me if I didn't keep the faith. But never do you find that. He kept the faith. No matter what price was attached to that, no matter how much he suffered, the terrible trials he endured. And that showed what mattered most to Paul, because he was willing to endure almost anything in order to fulfill that trust that God had placed in him. You see, this living responsibly as Christians is worth your life. It gives life meaning. We can see that in Paul. But thirdly and finally, it makes our lives rewarding. It makes our lives rewarding. You can look at the Apostle Paul and see the things that he experienced. But you can also see the joys. No doubt when those who heard the gospel that he preached and were receptive to it and obeyed it, were baptized into Christ, the joy that he must have felt in witnessing those occasions. But there was another reward to which he looked forward. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Paul knew that God rewards responsible followers of his. There is a reward that awaits the faithful child of God. Now, Paul worked for Christ because he loved Christ and because he sought to be obedient to him. But he also looked forward to that eternal reward, that crown of righteousness, which he knew the righteous judge would give to him on that day. You know, Jesus told the parable of the talents, in which several servants was given a sum of money based on their ability. And they were to invest that money and see what kind of return they could get on it. And clearly the parable teaches that God rewards those who are responsible with the blessings that he gives us. But he's also displeased and will punish those who do not use those blessings that God has given to his glory. But Paul used talents, the talents that God had given him, offering his life as a living sacrifice before God, but in full view of that eternal reward that he knew would come. I found this quote by Elizabeth Dole. Life is not just a few years to spend on self-indulgence and career advancement. It is a privilege, a responsibility, stewardship to be lived according to a much higher calling. And that's the truth, isn't it? You see, we have the opportunity because God has blessed us with His Word and blessed us with such wonderful examples like Paul, even more like His only Son, His only begotten Son, that we realize what life is meant to be. And we realize in order to have that life that He intended, it's going to include responsibility on our part. May each of us seek to live responsible Christian lives before God, so that at the end of our lives, we can say with Paul, "The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing." Do you have that confidence tonight? Are there changes that need to be made? Whether you need to obey the gospel or to come back as a child of God who's wandered away, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?